Amaraba.
Amaraba.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to do this spontaneous chabura style over here. So this is going to be awesome. It's going to be a lot of fun. One of my favorite topics in the world is, or two of my favorite topics in the world, shalom, are the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, the mitzvah of learning Torah, and keeping Shabbos. Those are two good things. But the only thing that might be better than learning Torah and Shabbos is learning Torah and Shabbos. Well said, Yosef. Okay? So I want to talk a little bit about why there is, or that, A, that there is, and then perhaps why there is unique mitzvah, or unique kiyum of Talmud Torah and Shabbos, as we are on Erev Shabbos, and going in. We're going to do this a little bit on the fly, but I think it should be a lot of fun. All right, so we're going to start with the Gemara and Gittin on Daf Lamed Ches and Beis. Are you in Kiddush instead of Gittin?
No.
Okay. You're in the Riff. You're in the back. All right, that's why we couldn't find it. Okay, it's about the end line, about 10 lines down, and it says Amar Rabba. Oh, the Gemara says something surprising. Amar Rabba Bahani. See that? Okay, so the Gemara getting that five mechasim bez Amar Rabba said the Heiliga Amar Rabba as follows: Bahani tles mili in the following tles. Okay, the three matters. Excellent. All right. The honey tzles mili. So making sure you guys are continuing to advance in your okay vocabs. All right. So the Gemara says the honey tzles mili in these following three fashions. The Gemara says nachde bale batim minichseh. So what's that? Nachde bale batim minichseh. So let's start with the easy part. Bale batim. Balbatim, right? In other words, for community members, house owners, homeowners. Okay, fine. Nachde. Good, right? To rest or, right, from simenucha, or also it means to go down. So they descend, all right? So in the following three fashions, bali batim descend minichseihon from there, right, from their nechasim. In other words, on the basis of the following three shortcomings, the following three sins, the following three problems, people lose their money. Okay, so this is going to be intense. So there's something terribly wrong that's going on. So what are these? Right? Okay, thank you, Rabbi Scroll. Shlita. Okay, right? Number one, says the Gemara, De mafke avdaihu l'cherusa, that they take out their, right? Their what? Their avadim to, right, to freedom. What does that mean? They take out their servants to freedom. Oh, very good. And what's wrong with freeing an Eved Kanani? It's Nisr Deoraisa. Adding a Nisr Deoraisa to free my Eved. Okay, what? In Gittin, in the same, very same tractate, as we call it. Okay? Masech Gittin, yes. What does he say? Very good.
Yeah, he frees the Kanani from minion.
It's actually, right? It's right over here.
It's also in Brachas.
Right, that's the context, by the way. That's right, I got that. Very good. Yes, it is in Brachas, Meister. Did you ever finish that scene? Okay. No, it's okay.
I did a golem chabura. The question was, if a golem can count for a minion, why didn't Rabbi Yochanan just make a golem for his minion?
Is it what is in the Chacham Tzvi?
It's possible.
Well, it's possible it's in the Chacham Tzvi. The thing is true with the Chacham Tzvi. If you create a golem, does it count for a minion? Right, that's the Gemara. Sorry, that's
the
Gemara. Yeah,
that was the Shuvah, but then, it's
based on the Gemara. Okay, very good. All right, so this is sounds crazy stuff, but in the age of cloning, it's quite the mindset. So, all right. Very good. So it's come back to us. Come back to haunt us, as it were. So the first reason that you lose your property is because you violate the mitzvah, to say, of freeing your slave, as Rabbi Yochanan says, and Matan says, right, following the shita of Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbeinu Matan. Okay, and the basis for that is the Pasuk Parshas Behar. What does it say? In Torah, Vayikra Perek Chafei. Okay, Le'olam. Good. That's the first word of three. Very good, Matan. Okay, finish the phrase. Okay, good. The third word is tavodu. Olam b'hem tavodu. The pasuk says, okay, they should serve you forever. All right, the olam b'hem tavodu. Okay, fine. So that's number one. Number two, udesayre nichsayhu b'shabso. You know what they do? They take a siur. Mazasiur. Like a tour, okay? Good. See, you are decided. They take a tour of there, but not of, right? They're not on vacation, taking a little tour of a local hamlet or something, a local little town, right? What are they doing instead?
The
right, and whose property are they taking a siur of? Their own. Why is this problematic? Why are you not allowed to take a siur of your own property, not just for fun, but to evaluate your financial needs, your crops?
What's not relevant, though?
Not relevant. Okay.
Wait, are you doing this on Shabbos?
Oh, yeah. It's Shabbos. Oh, that's so the hint.
He's planning for after Shabbos.
Okay, so it could be Hachana. Could be Hachana. Good. What else is problematic about being involved in financial matters on Shabbos? Even if I don't do any malacha? What? Good. The wrong atmosphere of Shabbos. Right, it's not Shabbistic. And what's the specific category? What does it say? Okay, well, maybe I enjoy it. Right, maybe I'm excited to have that new investment and it's going to be awesome. My house is cracked and messed up and I'm going to fix it. It's going to be great. Right, that there is, right? What's the problem? Right, because it says in the Navi that there is, right? All right, mimitso, what are you supposed to do? In Yeshayahu, mimitso, are you supposed to, Hashem, right? Hashem is going to make you if you have Onek Shabbat, but also, right, what do you have to abstain from not to? Mimitso, good, right before Davar Davar. Davar Davar is talking about, you know, non-Shabbistic activities, and what's mimitso chefzecha? That's the other phrase there, mimitso chefzecha, vidaber davar. Right, mimitso cheftzecha. Good. What do you mean, find your things? Hashavas aveda, but for yourself. Okay, could be. What kinds of things are you finding? You're allowed to find things in Shabbos. Okay. Yeah, you're gonna go and you're gonna engage in your matters, right? In your work, right? In your financial responses. So that's problematic. That's an Easter based on divrei sofrim. The Rambam says there are four basic categories when it comes to Shabbos that are midivrei sofrim, and one of them is based on this. Okay, so that's mimitzo cheftzecha v'daber davar nesser d'raisa. Right. Right, I'm saying in principle. No, I'm not talking about gzeros siyagim from malachos, but separate categories entirely. Things along the lines of muksa, etc. Okay? And like oneg Shabbos and kavod Shabbos, all those kinds of things. Okay, that's number two. And now we come to the relevant one. Number three, what do they do? Udikav es uda saihu. What's udikav es uda saihu? Okay, what? Good, they establish Su'uda Saihu. Okay, there's Su'uda. Excellent, very good. Or Su'udot. Bishabsa. Right, on Shabbos. Idan Be Midrasha. What's Idan? Right direction. The Idan. Be Izelo Ivrit. Mazer Baramech.
When they require
Kohath from similar Shoresh of Bai, good, but here it's Ma'inon, right? Be'idan, right? Sorry, that's a little bit different, right? It's Bai, it's a Shoresh, but here Dalit is part of the Shoresh, what? Good, but Be'idan means a time. Idan, Bechol Idan, right? Idan, right? Idan V'idan, right? Every single time, okay? So what do they do? The Kavi Sudasayu Be'idan V'idrashim, Shamsa, right? What do they do? Establish their Su'uda on Shabbos. When do they go home to eat? At the time of? Right? The time of learning. The time of the base medrash. Be'idan be midrash. And that's problematic. Not only is that problematic, it's so problematic, says the Gemara. That what? What's the punishment for this? Right? They're going to lose their property. What do you think is the connection between them? Why do you lose your property? Because you freed your servants against the Torah, because you went around, did a siyur around your property to evaluate your financial needs, and because you, or because you established your seuda at the time of the basement.
First,
it's good. You need to connect me, though. Say more.
This kind of thing.
You can't handle your property. We're going to get rid of your property.
Perfect. Go ahead. How does that stuff get into this? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Because you're trying to, cram everything in and properly wrapping yourself.
Okay, good. What are you choosing over something else? Which is an instance of, right, of material needs, of gashmius needs, as opposed to what? Right, you're putting that first. Literally, at the time, you're displacing one for the other. Okay, so your material needs are going to be lost.
What is the last task?
So it assumes that there was that in the communities at that time there was a special time that was designated for learning. Right, everyone's in the basement just now. It's a sheer time. It's a learning time. Whatever it is, and instead you ban the chip. Like let's say right after davening, the Rambam describes the proper breakup of a day on Shabbos or Yontif, and in particular, but in parallel. And the point is, there's a sheer time that's designated for the community, and you're like, I'm out of here. That kind of thing. okay? The Rambam actually, someone could get a, get a Rambam's manim. It's except that's different because that's mamish during davening and during the after. This thing, we're done with davening. We folded up our talisim, you know, everyone left to finish at the whole nine yards, you know? Maybe we add Kiddush. And then we're going to come back to the base medrash and we're going to have learning time in a math here. So it's instead of the learning, it's a different thing. Good. Excellent. All right, very good. So what do you see from this Gemara, among other things? What do you see from this Gemara? That they're right, at least, at the very least, that it was right customary in the community to take certain amount of time designated for learning on Shabbos. Now, is it muchrach? Is it 100% crystal clear from here? There's a unique kiyum of tamtar on Shabbos? What do you think?
It doesn't show that there's a kiyum. It just shows that in the Gemara, most people have... seem to have had.
Right, and that if the community already is doing it, that you should do it as well. Hevzmanim? All right, so let's find this in the Rambam. So the Rambam extends this and clarifies this is something that we do. But I don't know if it's quoted here in the in Mishpat, so then we'd have to find it. Where is it? Let's see. Where is that Rambam? To think. Is it Hilchos Shabbos? Alright, one sec. It's either in Hilchos Shabbos or Hilchos Yontif, if I don't recall. It's not there. Oh! Yeah. Perek Lamed, Halacha Yud, in Hilchos Shabbos. Is it Hilchot Shabbat? You get it? You get it with your brother? Alright, who wants to read the Rambam? Shai, you ready? Go ahead.
You should eat meat and drink wine because that is only for you.
Good. Although, is Achilat Basar Vishtiyat Yayin, is that a verb? What is that?
No.
You said you should.
The idea of
Vasar
and Yain is
only. Good. Right, the idea or the activity, right? Good. It's a gerund, as we call it. Good. Right, that is a form of oneg. Now, the Rambam here was describing those four categories that I mentioned earlier. One of the four categories is oneg Shabbat, based on the Pasuk in Yeshayahu that I mentioned, right? That you should have oneg. That was part of the same section as Mimsochem Tzachav, Deber Davar, etc. The Rambam is elaborating the halacha of enjoying your Shabbos. Okay, so he says eating meat and drinking wine is part of that category of Shabbos. Of oneg. Go ahead. Good.
That is in the case where your hand is touching.
Good. Excellent. Perfectly literally translated, but what does it come to mean? You got the words right. That's good. So what does it mean? It's only when your hand can reach them?
Like if you don't have...
What does that mean?
Yeah, and then you don't. It's okay. Like if you don't have enough money?
Ah! That's... Okay, Yado Maseges is a phrase that refers to, right, my hand can reach, right? In other words, what?
Not a phrase.
Right?
Within your grasp.
Well, right, you have to, literally means if you have enough, you have it within your financial reach, as it were. Okay? Good. So if you can afford it, then you should buy these more expensive items for Shabbos. Good.
Basically, our Gemara is you cannot set your seuda on the wine for Shabbat or on Yom Tov, which you answered from our Gemara. Our Gemara didn't say that.
Good.
At the time of the Beit Midrash. Elokav hayam min hagat tzadiki harishon amit palel adam Shabbat shaharit imusach beit hakeneset viavol leveit to viyazot sudash shiim. So it was the minhag of the original righteous people, of the Rishonim, right? To daven, shacharis, and musaf, the Beit Knesset, then go home and eat the second meal, because the first meal was at night. Then go to Beit Midrash, Yikra, they would read Torah, Mishnah, and then they would learn Mishnah, Adam Mincha, until Mincha, Yifal Mincha, then they would have Mincha, Ba'achar, Hachi, Kuvot, Sudash, Nishit, Al Yan, Yachov, Yishteh, Ad Motzei Shabbat. Then they would have Sudash, Nishit, on wine, and they would eat and drink until Motzei Shabbat.
Good. So what do you guys think is the right is the take home here from the Rambam? According to the Rambam, is he act, in what ways does he depart from the straight phraseology of the Gemara? So Shai already picked up on one, which is?
Adds in Yom
Tov. Excellent. What else do we got? Beautiful. Yeah, right. Excellent. Excellent. Good.
Specifically, he says that the learning time is after the second meal. Mm-hmm. Which the writer didn't say when it was. It could have been after that.
Good. And what do you think? Do you get the sense from the... How does the Rambam compare to the Gemara in terms of the sense that there's... It's a unique kiyum or mitzvah to learn Torah on Shabbos?
That's what they did. Mm-hmm. That's what the tzaddikim did.
Right, yeah. And right, it's not just any... It's not which is they did, it's right, the minhag ha-tzaddikim. Now, you could always respond and say, okay, that could well be, but there's always a mitzvah to learn Torah. And maybe if it were a different day, they would have done, I don't know, daf yomi or something like that. Or probably wouldn't have said that. That's more modern phenomenon, right? But you get the idea. So it's not 100% clear, but it's edging already in that direction. So this idea that there is a kiyum to learn Torah on Shabbos, right, is maybe within the group. Right? Becomes a little bit clearer in the Rambam, and then once you get to the later sources, for example, the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch, it's brought down even more crystal clear. Okay? So I heard that I haven't learned so much Tur Shulchan Aruch this year, so this is an opportunity to be a little bit acquainted, but we're not going to learn them so much. What?
When they have the Tur Shulchan Aruch on a star shape for Shir Kvali, they take a picture of it and put it on because they don't expect you to know where it is.
Okay, so now you're going to know where it is. So this is the Tur, okay? All right, so the Tur is Hilchot Shabbat, is the third section of the Tur in Shulchan Aruch, okay? So I have that in front of me, but I don't know if any of you have it. So you can listen. That's the Shulchan Aruch. So listen to me. Listen over here. There is a siman in Shulchan Aruch and in the Tur, right? The Tur is, of course, the forerunner of the Shulchan Aruch, right? We know how this works. Rabbi Yaakov Balaturim, who is his father. What? We learned this in Shir. We learned this in Shir. But, okay, the Rush is correct. Good. All right. We all know. Okay, good. Right? We got a Rush. Did I ever tell you guys what one of my teachers once said? Right. Rip to the riff, rush to the rush, run to the run. Okay, so that's the minhag. We have to, right? So we got to start with the rush, and the rush is a crucial transitional rishon who really takes us from the period of shonen toward the period of codification. He's also interesting. He's the crossover Ashkenazi Sfarim, right? Or as they call Ashkenazi. Why? Like you? What? Well, how so? Because he grew up in Germany. He was one of the Bali Atosos, and he had to flee. It became exceedingly dangerous for his community, and he ended up running to Spain. So he brought the Ashkenazic traditions from Germany with him, the Bali Atosos, etc., and he took those with him to Sfarad, and he learned from the Sephardic Rishonim, and he started to fuse those two traditions together. So in many ways, the Rosh is a key transitional Rishon who takes the two of the major primary traditions in the medieval, right, the Middle Ages, in the period of the Rishonim, he fuses them together and creates something very powerful and very beautiful. So this is on the Rosh, the Tour was the one who came up with the Arba, right? It's called the Arba Turim. He was the one who came up with Arachayim, Yoredeya, Kosh Mishpa, Evan Ha'ezer. What? Why he didn't use that? Well, first of all, the Yad is what are the difference between the Tour and the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Torah?
Tour is only halakha ma'aseh.
Good. It's only on more practical. It's overwhelmingly at least on more practical topics. Good.
Not a brisker.
What?
So he's not a brisker.
So therefore, he's not a brisker. Okay.
That's how I know.
Okay. That's how you know. All right, good. How else? What else?
Not organized as well.
It's not organized as well. It's organized differently, right? It's organized by these four. Right, so the Rambam is right. It's much more tightly structured. The Tur also is organizing it in terms of sort of like more... What?
In terms of the Gemara?
It's not necessarily closer to the Gemara, but it's... There's a sort of... I guess the Rambam has this as well, but there's...
Mm-hmm. The Tur?
No, that's Yosef is citing the Gemara, but yeah, that's not. It's a totally separate thing. It's really just a new, more practical, more focused
like
kind of
into, like, parts of life.
Yeah, it's a little bit more integrated with daily life as an outgrowth of his more practical focus. I think that's fair. So Hilchos Shabbos in Tur and the Shulchan Aruch in Or HaChaim run from roughly Simen Resh Mem Beis, so the Zun, to Simen Shin Mem Dalet. Okay, and that's the Resh Shimon Gosh Mem Dalet, and that's even before you get to Hilchos Eretz. So in other words, 100 Simonim just on Hilchos Shabbos in the Shulchan Aruch. So we've got a lot of work cut out for us. Still, it's interesting, even though there's so many, check this out. The tour has an entire Simon that's dedicated to two things. Number one, you should eat fruit, and you should enjoy, and you should rest on Shabbos. That's the first section of this part of the tour. And then he says, and he actually has a different order. He says, it's Oneg Shabbat, so you should enjoy it. And then he says as follows. This is in Siman Reish Tzad, he says the tour. V'achar hashina kov'in midrash. What's that mean?
After your nap, you learn.
Guys, get a little nap in on Shabbos. The difference, you see how it's different than the Rambam?
I thought Shina was like Mishnah, like learning.
Oh, that's Vishinanta Mefonecha. But Shena, right? Shena, right, is sleep. Okay? Shena. Shena b'Shabbos time. Right? That's why I say that all the Hasidic Sfarim say that Shabbos is short for Shena b'Shabbos time. Okay? That's you know that it's. Serious. They say. That's how you know that it's a. What?
So it's contained within
itself. It's contained within itself. It's the very essence of Shabbos. Okay? Right? And that's why I know many people who get up late for Shabbos morning davening and they claim, well, I daven at Shari Shena. Okay, that is my kehila. That is my community. That's not the intention. Okay? No. There is a comment from the Maharil, which is cited when the Maharil actually says that you should. He says some people justify getting up a little bit later. He doesn't mean getting up like, you know, for, you know, in time for Musaf or something like that, or whatever. He means just instead of getting up at like, you know, 5:30, 6:30, whatever, instead you get up at, you know, 7 o'clock and you're there at 8 o'clock and you're davening. That's what he means. Okay, that's what the Maharil meant. But he did say that this is a. At least a smach for those who daven a little bit later, but even before his makrishma. Okay, that's a different shir. Anyhow, so it's vachar shina kovin midrash. So we have learning time following our sleep, following our shluf, following our shina. Kidi isa b'midrash. What? Ah, so what does it imply already? It's different than the Rambam's order, and again, it's more firm. This is what we do. We establish time for Torah. That's number one. Right.
What?
He does not say minhag sedi. That's right. He just says this is what we do.
So maybe the Rambam was just saying
Oh, that's interesting. Or they just disagree about how firm a requirement it is. Right, but that's smart too. Good. All right, so how does he know? Check out this midrash. He cites a midrash which was made, I don't know, famous, but it was made better known by the Torah. It says like this, Isa ben Midrash, check this out. Amra Torah, says the Torah, you need a little bit of an imagination for this. Amra Torah lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rather. The Torah was speaking to Hashem. Okay? So the Torah says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rivono Shalom, the master of the universe, Kishe Yikonsu Yisrael La'aretz. What does that mean? Kishe Yikonsu. Good. When the Jewish people enter the land, of course, what land? Not the land of Lower Merion. That's correct. Okay. What?
Uganda.
Okay, Matan Talbim. Okay. Don't shy. Okay. All right. Kishi Kansu Yisrael La'aretz. Zeratz L'charmo. I don't think Herzl knew this midrash. Zeratz L'charmo. This one. That's the Uganda plan. Herzl's initial plan. Zeratz L'charmo. Zeratz L'sodehu. This one's going to run to what? To his vineyard. That one's going to run where? To his field. Very good. So he says, Vani Matehelai. What's going to happen? What's gonna happen to me, said the Torah Tekken Baruch Hu. In other words, during the time in the Midbar, what did the Jews have to do all day long? Right? They had, whatever that means at that time. But they had time for matters of spirituality, matters of learning, etc. What's going to happen to them? That's the whole point. They're going to get into Eretz Canaan. They're going to have to, right? They're going to have to work their lands. What are they not going to have time for? Right? For Talmud Torah, for matters of spirituality, etc. So the Torah is concerned. It sees what's going on. It sees what's coming down the pipe. Turns to Kadosh Baruch Hu and says, I'm going to be alone. I'm going to be bereft. Okay. So Amar Lo, Kadosh Baruch Hu said to her, right? So it's Torah is personified as a woman. It comes to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yesh li zug. I have.
Congratulations for you.
Mazel tov. Please. Shani Mizavik Lecha is based also harkens back to the Gemara. That's the Kadosh Baruch Hu Mizavik Zivugim during parts of the day, right? Because it's Kasher Kriyas Yamsof, right? It's not difficult. Okay, fine. We're at the beginning of Mari Katan. So he says Yishli Zuk Shani Mizavik Lecha of a perfect match. And you know what her name is? What her name is? Beautiful. The Shabbos Shimcha.
It's like Shabbos' third spouse.
Okay, Shabbos is what is it, or second or is it additional or is it third of the
as it were?
Torah is the girl. No, Shabbos Shema.
What about the Shabbos being?
What? Tzarechi and Gadol. It doesn't work. Okay, Shehid is not the passion.
Excuse me.
Shame. Okay, but it's interesting, right? You see. Hakadosh Baruch Hu also has Hakadosh Baruch Hu also has different metaphors. Okay. Right, Hakadosh Baruch Hu also is referred to in different genders, different times. It's mostly male, but sometimes the Shechina, right, and there are female references in Tanakh as well, from time to time. So Shabbos Shema, Shehem B'Telem Mimlachtam. What happens to the Jews at that time? They're not going to be working. Be Batal Mimlacha, Be Cholin Lasot Bacha, and they have time to engage with you. Okay, and therefore, Sarach Shiikavu Midrash, or Shiikvu Midrash, they are required to establish time for learning. Lodia La'on Eschukei Ha'elokim Es Torosav. Based on the Pasuk Mishpos. Say Mishpos, right? Is that what? Lodia La'on Eschukei Ha'elokim Es Torosav, right? Again, it's a paraphrase in Parshas Yisro to teach the halakha, teach the Torah to the Jewish community. What else are we going to learn? And then he adds to that, and this you'll be familiar with, right? It's usher to establish time for learning during, right, time of the Beis Medrash, right, when they're learning, and what does he quote? What do you anticipate he's going to quote? The Gemara in Gittin, right? It says, Kidi Isa b'Gittin, as it says, Masach is Gittin, Beferek HaSholeach. What's HaSholeach? Fourth parak of Gittin is called Hashaleach. It's the first word of the first Mishnah in the parak, right? So parak Hashaleach. Whenever you see Hashaleach, it's a reference to fourth parak of Gittin. Yisa parak, begitin parak Hashaleach. Amar Rabba, Bahani, Tzvas Mili, Nachti, Bali, Batam, Minichsayu, V'chad Minai, who says the tour, one of these is a Kavi Sudasa, Bishabsa, who can finish it, they establish, right? Be'idon, Be'i, Midrasha. Okay, so now you can recite that part of the Gemara, hopefully, Baal Peh. Ready for the Bechina? Huh? Yeah? Can you say it by heart? The whole Gemara. Okay? No, you don't have to say it right now. Okay? Go Hachana, and then we'll give you the Bechina afterward. Okay? Okay? You probably can. All right. Very good. All right? Fantastic. Well, we have a dream team of Goldman Lamdanim over here, so it's good. It's between all of you. You guys all, it's going to hold cup. Good. Okay? Point. We have a contest one of these days. Come back in a couple years and have a face-off. All right, family face-off. All right, good. So what do we see from the tour? So number one, the tour says it's something firm, something that everyone does, right? And it's not just the tzaddikim, right? Rishonim, etc. It is, right, something that everyone puts in place. But he also quotes this midrash. Now, I would argue that the midrash transitions us from the notion, the unique kiyum of Talmud Torah B'Shabbos, to the first reason. The first reason that is given for why it is that Shabbos is a unique opportunity, a unique moment, a unique time for Talmud Torah. How does the Midrash start to answer that question? Rabbeinu Matan Shlita.
Because there is time for it.
There is time for it. Good. Very good. In other words, this is an extremely, would you call this practical or more like idealistic kind of explanation? It's an exceedingly practical explanation. What's the practical explanation? Right. Well, they have nothing else to do. Right. And on the flip side, not just, and therefore they have the opportunity to do that, which is most important, obviously. Right. Not like, oh, right. It's not like, oh, so I'm going to go, like, you know, sit around, obviously, or even like, you know, the Havdil play, I don't know, Scrabble or something like that. I'm not talking about the luck Scrabble, especially what you hold. Does Mordechai make the luck Scrabble? That is the only one. Talking yet? Yes. Is there enough? Okay. Anyhow. So right. So I'm not talking about that, Shaila. I hold you can play the luck Scrabble. Okay, but leaving that aside, it's even greater than Scrabble. It's called Talmud Torah. Okay, the settlers is those sort of thing. Okay, Chas v'Shalom, Mahavdil Elef Alfei Hadolos. Okay, good, very good. So why? So you have time. In other words, during the week, what happens? Right. What?
Settlers of Canaan.
What? Settlers of Canaan. Is that where they got it from? Taka.
No, they have this spin-off version. There's a spin-off version called
Okay, very good. The Haraya. That's Hakadosh Baruch Hu's speaking of Yoshua. Yoshua ben Nun vayolan Yoshua vayinek. And Hakadosh Baruch Hu comes to him and criticizes him. During the day, you're a military leader leading the Jews in the conquest of Canaan. But at night, you should be learning. That's what he says in the beginning of Masechet Megillah. Hakadosh Baruch Hu gives him Musar. Very interesting story. Anyhow, so be that as it may. So the first explanation is practical. During the week, we're very busy. We're in an area during the land of Israel. We are working our vineyards. We're working our fields, right? We're occupied. Shabbos, we have the opportunity. We simply have the time. So explanation number one for the unique kingdom of Talmud Torah of Shabbos is what? Is that you actually have more time available to do it. Now, Lamai Nafkamina, what might be the ramifications? We're going to have to think about this, okay? Let's say what? What?
You have to do something else.
Okay, Shabbos, if you're a shul rabbi, you work on Shabbos, okay? Good. Hopefully part of your working is to get to teach Torah, though, what?
You work 9 to 5 and you have 5 till 11.
Very good, yeah. You have a relatively relaxed schedule and you're able to have more time to work. What if you're a Ben Yeshiva? What if you're a Ben Yeshiva? Would that apply? Guess we're going to have to
do. You're not a Sadiq.
What?
You're not a Sadiq, then according to the Rambam.
That's a different point. That's also a good point. Very good. Who makes this point? The Rambam. Moshe Isserles. Where's the Shulchan Aruch? Hanin Shulchan Aruch. All right. We'll be about 10 more minutes. All right. Says the Shulchan Aruch. Here it is. You ready? The Rambam in Orach Chaim, Reish Tzadi, Sif Beis. Okay. The Rambam. Right? What? Who's the Rama with the hay? No, this one's Ben Aleph.
It's true.
Right? Rav Meir Halevi. Very good. Rav Meir Halevi. The Rama, not the Rama. What's the difference? That's right. Who's the Rama? Author of the Yad Rama. What is the Rama?
He's a Lumdus guy.
He's one of the Rishonim. The Rama, Rav Meir Halevi. What? Yeah, he's got a parish on Sanhedrin, other things. He also was extremely critical, as a classic chapter in Jewish history. He was very critical of the Rambam. He thought, he was under the impression that the Rambam had denied literal Tzchias HaNitzvah. And the first, what's called the quote-unquote Maimonidean controversy was sparked by the Rambam. That's Rabbeinu Yonah, that's the second Maimonidean controversy after the passing of the Rambam. But in his own lifetime, there's a lot of controversy, and many of the controversies were about Mishneh Torah. Mishneh was highly controversial when it was first put out, because he omitted all the machlokas, and he summarized halacha in his own understanding. He doesn't go back. He doesn't indicate in some letters that you should just not learn Gemara or the Rif, you just learn the Rambam. He's going to save all of Judaism. People, the Ravid was highly critical of him in his Hakam. The Hakam of the Mishneh Torah, the Ravid jumps all over him. So Mishneh Torah was highly controversial in the Rambam's own lifetime. But his Ashkafos, his philosophical opinions, were also debated and also sometimes misunderstood or misconstrued. And the Rambam was under the impression that the Rambam had denied literal Tchias HaNesim. And there's a big, big, big issue about it. It says can't learn parts of it and so on and so forth. And the Rambam responds by writing a letter. What's that letter called? Igeres. Anyone want to take a wild guess? What might have been? Igeres? Okay, close. No. That's another good guess. It's topical. Igeres Moshe would have been confusing for us. Yeah, that's true. Retroactively, would have been confusing. Okay, good. What is it? Igeres Tchias HaMeisim. Very simply, it's called. And Rambam says, I don't deny Tchias HaMeisim. He explains his own position. He just thinks Tchias HaMeisim happened at an earlier stage in history. We're going to be revived. We're going to live out our lives a second time. Then we're going to die, and then we're going to go on to, God willing, we'll get to an acceptance to Olam Haba and live as souls without bodies forever. That's the Rambam's view of the eschatology at the end of days. Anyhow, that's all on its side. That's the Ramah, which is Agav the Ramah, which is Agav the following, or the point is the following halacha. Says the Ramah, the Shulchan Aruch says that after we learn, after Shacharis, like the Ramah, not like the tour. Okay, the Shulchan Aruch says that after Shacharis, what do we do? We shteig. Achar Shacharis Kovim Midrash Likros, and he says, interestingly, Likros Binidvim. Learn Navi. So if anyone tells you it's not important to learn Navi, right? It's more than that. Separate from the Torah.
You said it's after Shacharis, which means that it's before Musa.
No, after Suda Shacharis. Yeah, no, he just means that's supposed to say Suda Shushir. That's what he means. No, he means after all Navning, after Musaf. Likros Binidvim, Vilidrosh Bidivrei Agada. Interesting. Okay. By the way, many had the practice to learn Agadita on this on the basis of Shulchan Aruch. There are many Shabbos Shiurim. Yeah, and Sephardic communities in particular, this is a common practice, and there are collections of Agadita that specifically were very commonly learned to unshackle.
Is that Mikhaian?
Is that where he is? Mikhaian. I'll tell you this, Rav Kevi Tarian is coming in a couple weeks to the community, and he's giving shiur to the high school students on a story of Rav Nachman. Okay? So maybe, I don't know if what he holds on this topic, but that much I can tell you. Anyhow, but also Kwasu that was a shah, you're not allowed to establish a suit at that time. Then the Ramah writes like this. He says, if you are, I'm going to paraphrase the Ramah, he says, if you didn't write in front of you, if you are a balabayas, if you are a member of the group of Bali Bantan who work hard all week long, then what should you do on Shabbos? You should, right? You should learn a lot. You should increase your Talmud Torah, right? Go out of your way to add. But then he says, but if you are a, right, if you are already a ben yeshiva, says you should learn Torah, you should continue learning Torah, but this morning we see you have a little on the Shabbos, that fits also. In other words, Yizach HaShem saying you shouldn't learn a lot of Torah if you're ben yeshiva, right, and we'll see the others say a little bit of a different idea. But what he's saying is, if you, it's an afkamina, you see how this works? If you hold, like the first svara, that the reason is practical, then it depends on your schedule. It depends on how busy a Baal Bayis you are, it depends on how busy a ben yeshiva you are, how much time you have for learning, and so on and so forth. And so it might be that if you are very, very busy during the week, that this is going to be especially applicable to you as a Baal Bayis. And this is a mikan that, God willing, when everyone gets to that stage in life, right, if we go into whatever professional fields and so on and so forth, and our lives are inevitably going to get extremely busy, Shabbos provides unique opportunity for learning ourselves, learning with our communities, for giving shiurim, for teaching, right, for having chavrusos and so on and so forth. That's a real critical thing, and that comes to the Shulchan Aruch. It's so important to quote this and to know this based on this and all. However, my friends, this is not the only explanation for why it's important to learn on Shabbos. Here's the second svara. The second svara, the Me'iri and Shabbos and Afkuf Yirchas, which I don't think I'm going to read now because time's getting a little late, and the Bach. Who's the Bach? I don't know. The Bayis Chadash. The Bayis is a classic commentary on the not on the. Yes, the same Hagos Bach was the Hagos on the side of the Gemara. Is the same Bach who has the comment. That's right. Who has the commentary on the tour? Famous commentary right here. So what does the Bach say? The Meiri, I don't think the Bach had access to the Meiri, because the Meiri was only discovered a little bit more than 100 years ago. It was a great Rishon. We didn't know about his existence until more recently. I don't think the Bach had access to the Meiri. Meiri lived in Provence, southern France, or Languedoc to be precise, in the 13th century. Basically, it's a great Rishon. A big fan of the Rambam as well. They both say, second reason, they give shot, they say it is a kiyum, Talmud Torah's unique kiyum of mitzvah we've already spoken about, which is Onen Shabbos. What's pshat? Oneg Shabbos, you should enjoy Shabbos. What does that mean? Not just eating, not just drinking. How else? Right? All sorts of different ways, right? We should taking a siyur, but not to check out your property, but a siyur just, you know, just to enjoy the community. This Shabbos not so recommended around here because it's, you know, it's going to be a wind chill of like negative 10, so it's not necessarily recommended. However, on a pleasant Shabbos, take a little walk outside. Oneg Shabbos. Shena b'Shabbos is tanug, we said, right? That also. A little extra sleep, being a little more comfortable, that's fine. Right? And other things, right? Also, right? For a couple that's married, that mitzvah also, right? They're called the mitzvah of Ona, that also is a nikil on Shabbos. All of that, fine. What about Talmud Torah? What do we say about Talmud Torah? Miri quotes this pasuk explicitly. What's the pasuk that teaches us that Talmud Torah is a sublime joy? Oh, I know this. Not correct. Yes. Tip of his tongue. Still not correct. It is in Tehillim. Shilas Nafesh. That's close. Okay. Okay, you can quote that. The Gemara doesn't actually quote that for specifically at this point, but that also. It's the same theme. Pikudei Hashem Yesharim. The laws of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are straight. They're Yeshar. They're Yashar. And what else? Miss. Come on, guys. Can finish it? Misam chilev, pikud Hashem yisharim, misam chilev. They gladden the heart. The Gemara says from here, you know, that it's also to learn most portions of Torah on Tisha B'Av. Well, that's a question about it. Maybe Avilos as well, but you're on the right track. That becomes a question, at least on Tisha B'Av, the Gemara says. So the Meiri and the Vach say, you know why there's a unique... It's not a practical point. It's part of the Kiyum of Oneg Shabbos. That's the second explanation. Beautiful. The third one comes in an unbelievable Midrash Tanchuma. Midrash Tanchuma, the beginning of Parshas Vayakal, says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu that you should gather the Jewish community together and you should teach them Torah and Shabbos. Teach them Halacha, Hilchos Shabbos, Halacha generally, and so on and so forth. Right, Vayakel Moshe. Right? Moshe gathered the people, gathered them to do what? Well, he taught them certain halachos. What did he teach them? What does it say at least? Right? What did he gather them and he said to them? Right? Lo Sivaru Esh. The Chom Moshe Osechem Yom Shabbos is there, and also the mitzvah to build. Right? The Mishkan is there as well. And from there we derive the halachos about building the Mishkan on Shabbos and so on and so forth. Okay? Fine. However, what's the larger point? He gathered them, he taught them Torah. It says the Midrash Tanchuma, it's according to Torah Shlema, it's a beautiful piece that we learn from here that there's a unique kiyum of what? Of learning Torah on Shabbos. It doesn't say that explicitly. And you know what the Midrash says? Well, it says on Shabbos because the Midrash gets it because it's Vayakal Moshe, and then it talks about Lusvar Rosh Kol Moshe Seichem B'Yom HaShabbos. The Midrash says explicitly, Mikan, that Moshe Rabbeinu did this, and Mikan, that everyone in future generations as well. You should gather.
And it's also much of doing things on Shabbos that are mixed up, and
you can learn what you're not allowed to do. That for sure you can learn. You can learn Torah. Torah is always good on Shabbos. Okay, so now, right, and what's the significance of this? This is an unbelievable thing. This is the last point I want to make, and then we'll bring it home. Right, what does Midrash Tanchuma say? It says, this is we get from a pasuk in Yeshayahu. This is not a pasuk I expect you to know. Pasuk in Yeshayahu says, Atem Eidain Um Hashem. Atem Eidain, with an ayin. What does that mean? You are my witnesses, says Hashem. What's pshat? That Martin Midrash says that when we learn Torah on Shabbos, we are meyed that Hashem Baruch Hu is what? Is Osa Masa Bereshis. And he's the creator of the world, and he's the giver of the Torah, and all of that. Just like we testify, Vayechulu, we say, is a form of Vedos. Some people don't say Vayechulu based on the Ritva, unless you have two people together afterward, right? It's the idea that you're testifying. Maybe Kiddush is that as well. Say Vayechulu three times for that reason over the course of Shabbos altogether. If you do the math, you have all these ideas. So what's pshat though? How do you understand that? How is it that by learning Torah, I pick up a random sefer and I learn Torah. How does that testify? Like, I understand if I say Kiddush and I declare it's Shabbos and Shabbos is the seventh day of creation, it's Zichel Ma'aseh Bereishis. That I understand. Kiddush I can see. Vayechulu. Vayechulu Hashem Ayin V'Aretz. Chutz V'Am. That's Ma'aseh Bereishis. That I understand. I'm learning Torah. I'm learning Maseches Gittin. I'm learning about freeing my slave. But it has nothing to do with Shabbos. Agav, some do. It comes up. It's connected to Shabbos. Fine, but it's not about Shabbos. I'm learning Bava Kama. I'm learning whatever it is that I'm learning. What does it have to do with Shabbos? What does it have to do with testifying that Baruch Hu is the creator of the world? What's the answer? Why are we learning Torah? Ultimately,
serve Hashem.
Serve Hashem. Why do we serve Hashem? Ultimately, all goes back to the fact that Hashem Baruch Hu is the Nosein HaTorah, and the fact that Hashem Baruch Hu is the Nosein HaTorah is an outgrowth of what? The fact that Hashem Baruch Hu brought us into existence, brought the world into existence, brought humanity into existence, brought us here for a reason, brought us here for a purpose, wanted us to serve Him, and ultimately we testify that implicitly by learning Torah. So which means that in sum we have three pshatim in the key, a unique key of Talmud Torah and Shabbos, which comes initially from, we traced it from the Gemara in Maseches Gittin, that you're Yored Minechseyah. One of the reasons, the three reasons is what? So they establish a based, right, Su'udah on Shabbos, B'idam B'Midrasha. The Rambam takes it further, gives his own version of it, right, and says this is something the Tzaddikim or Rishonim would do. The Torah says this is just the practice, the Torah is just the practice. And we have three explanations as to why this would be important. Number one, who can do the Chazara?
One more time.
What's the first reason? We have time available. What's the source for that position?
The
Torah is correct, but it's not the Torah, it's citing the Midrash. Which Midrash? Because what the Midrash say has that whole story about
the Torah asking how
to learn. Okay? Yeah, that's right. Okay, so it's like the Zivug. I have a Zug for you, okay? Who's married to whom, as it were?
Torah and Shabbos
are married to each other. That's shot number one. What's shot number two? That's a practical explanation. And the Nafkamina, is what? Is in the Ramah. That maybe it depends on, right, on how busy you are, whether you're Ben Yeshiva or Baal Bayis, and so on and so forth. Very good. What's number two?
Oneg Shabbat.
Okay, Oneg Shabbat. Who says that?
The
Bach, and before him? Not Shulchan Aruch. Meiri, very good. Menachem Meiri, very good. And we'll say it's based on Oneg Shabbos. Very good. And how do we know that Talmud Torah is a sublime pleasure? Is one of the greatest joys. But it's a whole share in its own right. Bikudei Hashem Yisharim, very good. Bikudei Hashem Yisharim. Nesam Chilei Pasuk and Tehillim Kuf Yud Tes. Very good. What's the final explanation? By the way, there's a whole shiur about that topic, about Talmud Torah and Simcha. Oh, it's a great topic also. It's beautiful. Good. What's number three? Explanation number three is based on the Midrash that we saw. It's a form of Moshe Rabbeinu gathered Klal Yisrael, teach them Torah on Shabbos. This is Midrash on Chum at the beginning of Parshas Vayakel. Why? It's a form of Eidos, right? Eidos b'maisa b'reishis. And ultimately, we're learning Torah, Kabbalah Malchus Shamayim, as a way of commemorating, okay? So my wish for all of us is that we should take care, we should take advantage of the practical time that we have in our lives. It's available for Talmud Torah today, this Shabbos, and every single Shabbos, and every single day of our lives, but especially when it comes to Shabbos. Number two, we should find joy, sublime joy in Shabbos. Number three, we should reflect on the fact that our Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Osem Masav Reishis Nosen HaTorah, and that is reflected in our daily Talmud Torah. Everyone should have a good Shabbos, and it's always a true sublime joy. It's Bikri Hashem Yisharim Sam Chelev, truly, to be learning together as always. Yashar Tov.